I want to preach to you today from a portion of scripture that at a few significant points in my life has really helped me. And maybe it will be that as this passage has helped me, it might help you today. I'm going to preach to you about sailing your stormy seas with the sails of faith. And I'm going to have you turn with me in your scriptures to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And when you find Matthew chapter 8, you will want to find verse 23, and we will read through verse 27. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23, when you find it through verse 27. And I will, as oftentimes we will do, give you a moment to find it, and then I will have us stand together as we read the scriptures, and I will read aloud today. So would you please stand with me, please? Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. I'll read through verse 27, and then we'll ask God to help us and speak to us from His Word, the Bible. Matthew chapter 8, begin reading in verse 23. And that's Jesus, was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey Him? Well, let's pray and ask God to help us to learn about sailing our stormy seas with the sails of faith. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, speak to us, we ask, because there are stormy seas that all of us experience. In fact, looking back on the past year, I would guess everybody can look back at some very stormy seas. And not knowing what's ahead, we pray, O Lord, that You would speak to us. Now, You know what You uniquely want to do in each individual that You've assembled in this congregation. And we ask, God, that You would do it. This is not something that I can preach up to. It's something that Your Spirit must do as the Word is used. And so we come with humility, with a request for the filling, the controlling of Your Spirit to receive from You today. And then the humility to respond to You in obedience and faith. And so help us, God, we pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, the Lord begins this account, as the scriptures do with us here, telling us about the procession. You'll notice that it all begins in verse 23, that Jesus was entered into a ship and His disciples followed Him. So Jesus is on His way and He says, all right, I'm going to get on the ship, and the disciples follow along. These men followed the Lord into that ship. Now, these men had already made a decision in their life. In fact, Peter said to the Lord one time, Lo, we have left all to follow Thee. And you know, he was right. They did. And so together, Jesus leading, the men following, they proceed into the ship. Their spirit and attitude was, Lord, wherever You want, I'll go. Now, there were some other people that Jesus met on His way to the ship that didn't have quite the same attitude. In fact, if you look at your Bible, you'll notice verse 18, now Jesus saw the great multitudes about Him. He gave commandment to depart to the other side. So He tells the men, we're going to go. We're going to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And you'll notice then that as this is all taking place, a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. Jesus says, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And then, verse 21, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Now, here were individuals, while Jesus was on his way with the disciples to get on a ship, here were individuals, both of whom volunteered, but they volunteered to follow the Lord on the Lord's, or excuse me, on their terms, not the Lord's terms. You know, there are a lot of folks that are like that. We want Jesus, and we want to follow, and we want all that goes with Jesus, but we want to do it on our terms and not on his terms. Have you found that to be true in your own life? And so this passage begins with the procession. And it is very significant for us to realize that these men followed the Lord in complete obedience into the ship. But while they're following the Lord, they experienced a predicament. This procession led them into a predicament. We read about it in verse 24, where Jesus, the Bible says, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Now, I want you to notice that this predicament was unexpected, because when you read in the Bible, behold, it's one of the ways that it communicates to us, check this out, you wouldn't believe what happened. They followed Jesus, and all of a sudden, unexpectedly, a storm comes up, and a great storm. And this is the reason this happens is because of the geography of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. It's bounded on the west side by slopes that rise up to 1,200 feet above sea level. It's bounded on the east side by steep mountains that rise up to about 2,500 feet above sea level. And so, I guess similarly to Chattanooga, the Sea of Galilee heat would gather and it would settle down between these mountains. I guess we'd think of it like a bowl. And so the heat is settling down above the sea, and then sometimes cold air would come from the west over those steep slopes. And as the cold air would come from the west, then there is a collision of two fronts. Cold air front on the top and warm air on the bottom. And the cold air would rush down. And as it sinks and rushes down, the hot air from the floor of the sea would come up. And you have this two colliding air fronts, and there would be sudden bursts of significant storms. And so here for these men, all of a sudden, there's a storm that comes up, and it was unexpected. How many of you have ever had unexpected storms? You weren't expecting them, but they sure came. They followed Jesus. But there was an unexpected storm. Oh, this predicament was not only unexpected, but this predicament was extensive. It's called in this passage, a great tempest. Now, Mark gave us a detail in his account of this, Mark chapter 4, verse 37, that describes it this way, not only that the waves beat on the ship, but that the ship was now full. Have you ever been in a storm in your life and you felt that it was overwhelming? You feel like that ship. You feel like you're getting beat up on every side. And you feel like it's overwhelming, and the water's coming in, and you feel like you're sinking fast. Now, it's one thing to have a hole in your bucket, but a hole in your boat, that's a whole nother problem. And you know, Lord, we followed you, and look at this. This is an incredible storm. We're having a real problem, Lord. And this predicament was even endangering. Because Luke tells us this, Luke chapter 8, 23, when the disciples talked to the Lord, they said, Lord, we're in jeopardy. We don't know if we're going to make it. Lord, here we are in the middle of the sea. We followed you in here, and we don't know if we're going to make it to the other side. The storm is great. The boat's taking on water. No matter what we do, it just doesn't seem to be enough. How are we going to get out of this, Lord? We're fighting for our lives. Have you ever followed the Lord, and as you follow the Lord, he brings you to a storm, and you feel like you're fighting for your life? Now, when you follow the Lord and he brings a storm into your life and allows a storm in your life, it is the Lord who takes you through it. But here's something you need to know. You need to know that sometimes when the Lord brings you into storms, you need to know that sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. What? Now, I thought you were going to encourage me. It's going to get better. It will get better. God will bring you through it. But wait a minute. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. How many of you think it was an exciting day when Daniel was delivered from the lion's den? How many think that was an exciting day? How many of you think it got worse before he ever was delivered when he was thrown in? It got worse before it got better. The same book of the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Wow, God delivered them from a fiery furnace, but before they received the deliverance, it got worse. Before it got better, they were thrown in. For Stephen, the first martyr of the Lord's church, you better believe it got worse before it got better. In fact, on this side of heaven, it got really bad. He had to wait to the other side before it got better. Jeremiah, the great prophet of God. Man, before things got better, he's thrown into a miry pit. Muddy, mucky. In fact, it's a mucky, the Bible uses this word, dungeon. He's thrown in there. It got worse for him before it got better. And sometimes the Lord brings you into storms, and you need to know that sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Even when you follow the Lord, you are put in predicaments. Do you know all of us who follow the Lord come across these predicaments in our lives? It's part of how God is working with us and in us. Those predicaments aren't accidents. Those predicaments are designed by the Lord as you follow him. So these disciples followed the Lord in their procession, and then the Lord brings them into this predicament, and here they are in the boat, things are going bad, and I mean the storm is beating the ship, and there are waves all over, and the water's coming in, and I'm trying to picture this in my mind's eye, and I'm imagining this, you've got guys on oars, and they're rowing, and you've got other guys trying to work the sail, and they're trying to get an angle of the wind so they can get to the shore before it sinks. You've got other guys, maybe they got a bucket, and they're bailing water, here we go, and I mean, it's confusion, and where was Jesus? I mean, this was all, they need everybody they can, because we're going to die if we don't make it out of here. Where was Jesus? Well, verse 24, he was asleep. Seriously? Sleeping? I think it's Luke in his gospel adds a detail. Jesus has a pillow. He's on a pillow. Here he is. He's under the deck, and he has a wonderfully comfortable seat cushion. And the guys are up on the top, and they are bailing and working, and they're doing everything they can. And Jesus, when they need him the most, is asleep down there in his comfortable, easy pillow. Now, how many of you have ever felt like when you're dying and you need all the help you can get, did you ever feel like Jesus was asleep on you? Lord, where are you? Where are you? Well, So this profession or procession leads to a predicament. And that predicament, when these men finally come to the Lord, leads them to a confrontation. The confrontation began, verse 25, with a cry of desperation. And they cry out, verse 25, his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Lord, if you don't do something, we're all done for. You know, it's a good thing to become or to come to such desperation in your life sometimes. You cry out to God and say, God, if you don't step in, I'm never going to make it. If I don't have your hand and your power and I don't have your intervention, I'm never going to make it. It's humbling. It's wonderfully necessary. We cry out sometimes when we hurt bad enough that we need the Lord. Sometimes we cry out because the things that must be done in our lives are so beyond our human resources, we cry to Him for His help. Sometimes there's a vision that He gives us that's greater than we can imagine. We cry out to God. And so these men cry out to the Lord. But it doesn't stop there, because after this cry of desperation, these men make a remarkable accusation. You don't read it in Matthew's gospel, but the account in Mark's gospel tells us something that Matthew doesn't tell us. It's a detail that really makes this story come alive. You read about it in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. Do you know what these men said? When they woke Jesus up from his sleep, they say to the Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Here you are, we're ready to die, and you're down here sleeping. Don't you care about us? Now, before you get too hard on them, how many of you have ever asked the Lord, don't you care about me? I'm in a storm, and I'm getting beat up on every side. The turmoil is so great. I feel like I'm taking in water, and I'm never going to make it. Don't you care for me? So you ask yourself, does Jesus care? It's a great song that really takes the very thought that you and I have had when we're in those times that we feel as though we can't make it, and we wonder if Jesus just abandoned us, and we wonder if the Lord really does care, and we say, Lord, if you really cared, would you have put me here? Would you have allowed, I followed you. Would you have, Lord, do you really care? In this chorus of the song, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I know that the disciples understood that Jesus loved them. But in the desperate times, in the desperate times, like us, they doubt. We doubt. There's a story told of by author Max Lucado of a man named Paul who recalls a time that happened when he was about 3 or 4 years old. Paul's from West Texas, and in the springtime, there's a propensity for tornadoes, and one day the skies turned black, And the wind began to roar, and Paul's father hustled the five boys into the house, and he put them under a mattress to protect them from the potential of debris that would be uprooted by the whirling winds. And Paul peeked out from under the mattress and watched his father standing there as his father watched the funnel clouds swirl. The tensions rose, fear gripped their hearts, and Paul's heart pounded. Paul couldn't resist the urge to struggle out from the arms of his mother and race to the window and wrap his arms around his father. Lucado writes, he remembers the distinct impression that the safest place to be in a storm was standing next to his father. Storms do come, he continues writing. Stand next to your father. It's safe there. Well, this all began with a procession. And the men followed the Lord right into a predicament, and it led to this confrontation. Don't you care? And then the Lord deals with the disciples with a rebuke. Notice the rebuke of the disciples. Matthew chapter 8. When you read it, there's a question and a description in this rebuke. Verse 26, he said to them, "Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith?" The question, why are ye so fearful? The description, O ye of little faith. Now, the question tells us what the issue of the heart was. The issue of the heart was fear. I would imagine all of us can, in our mind's eye, can sympathize with them if we were in that ship. But all of us face fear of death, fear of rejection, fear of man. The fear of health concerns, the fear of the unknown, the fear of change. The fear of surrendering our will to God. The fear of what could happen if, and you fill in the blank. Everybody faces fear. So Jesus addresses their fear, and the question tells us that the issue for those men was fear, and for us, the issue is also at times fear. So the question tells us the issue of the heart. The description tells us why they had such fear. It tells us why, when I'm following the Lord, and as I follow the Lord, He brings about a storm, it tells me why I am so afraid in my storm. And why you are so afraid in your storm. Why I'm afraid when He calls me to change. Why I'm afraid when I run into difficulties. Why is it that I'm afraid when I go into these storms that God brings me? I followed the Lord. Why am I afraid? And He tells us, why are ye so fearful? Verse 26, O ye of little what? Faith. Why am I so fearful? It's because I need to grow in faith. You see, faith does not remove fear, but faith acts in spite of fear. It's natural and normal to have fears. I mean, would you say that there would be something strange about these men who are in a ship, a little ship? We're not talking an aircraft carrier. We're talking a little boat. Taking in water in a storm. And we're talking about men who are, would you say that, would you fault them? No. But wait a minute. The issue is that in the midst of my fears, I'm not faulting you for fears. I'm not faulting you for, but I am telling you this, that the only way that you get through fears is to believe God by faith and let God take you through that storm. So Jesus rebukes the disciples. Oh, ye of little faith. And then, did you know that the Lord gave a second rebuke in this passage? Do you know what the other rebuke is? Look at your Bible again. Oh, look at verse 26. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. Then he arose. He rebuked the winds and the sea. There was great calm. He rebukes the storm. Now, Jesus gave a physical demonstration to these struggling disciples that he could take them through any storm and any fear if they would only believe him in the midst of it. You see, God is the God of the storm, and he is the God of the calm. He is God either way. And if you will believe him, whether life is calm or whether it's the storm, he will take you through. So this all began with the procession. And these disciples followed the Lord in their predicament. And this predicament brought them into a confrontation. And then the Lord rebukes them. But this brought a wonderful result. It brought a result on the sea. The stormy sea was calmed. As impressive as that is, how wonderful it would be. I promise you, nobody's more excited about it than those disciples. But the result that was the greatest result of that day was not the wonder of a calm sea. The most wondrous result was what God did in the lives of those disciples. So they say, verse 27, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? In the Synoptic Gospels, the Synoptics are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In each account, in each of those Gospels, the same response is found. What manner of man is this? Now, you would hope that these men would understand that this would exalt the Lord for his deity, that he, as the God who is the creator of it all, has power over all creation. But that wasn't what they identified. They marveled at his humanity. And here's the point. These are men that in time would understand his deity and his humanity. They wouldn't really fully understand his deity until after the resurrection. But God brought this storm in their lives because he was helping them to grow in their understanding and in their faith. They weren't quite where they would be one day in their understanding and their faith. But Jesus brings a storm to help them to take another step of growth in their faith. Why would God bring you into that storm? Is it to scare you? To hurt you? To shake your faith? Cause you to doubt? No. God brings you into that storm to help you to take another step of growth in faith. You haven't arrived yet, have you? Arrived? since we haven't arrived, God brings us to these points of storms in our lives so we keep growing. And God understands that there are some ways that he wants you to grow in your understanding and your faith. And the only way that you can grow in the way he wants you to grow is by bringing you into a storm and challenging your faith to believe that he is able, to trust that he is doing this for my good, to trust that he can do things I can't see, to trust that there's bigger things going on than I understand in my myopic view of it. And so, he's growing me, changing me. You know, it wasn't too long after this, the disciples had another one of these storms. Jesus was around the Sea of Galilee region. You read about it in the 14th chapter of Matthew. And while he was there, he said, fellas, I want you to go on over to the other side, and I'll catch up with you later. And he goes up to the mountain. He's praying. And the men are rowing their way across the Sea of Galilee. It's dark. And all of a sudden, another one of these storms comes up. And I mean, it is another storm like you wouldn't believe. And you've got guys that are, they're just crying out, what are we going to do? Now, Jesus was praying, and Jesus wants to be with them. And so he takes a walk. He walks right across that water. And I'm imagining this storm because there's a flash of lightning. And as that lightning shines the sky, they see this figure walking. And, you know, it goes, the flash, and then it goes dark. And then another flash. And they see this. It must be a ghost. Well, gets close. It's, hey, that's Jesus. What's Peter do? Do you remember what Peter does? Peter says, Lord, could I get out there with you? Peter jumps out of that boat and starts to walk on water. Of course, he does like we do, and he's walking on water. Not that you walk on water, I walk on water. But he's walking on that water, but here's what we do. God is doing supernatural things in his life, and he's walking on the water, but then he looks around at all the storm and everything. And he takes his eyes off the Lord, who is the source that's allowing him to experience supernatural power. And what's he do? He begins to sink, right? And the Lord reaches out and pulls him up. They walk together onto into the boat. They go to the shore. Now, I tell you all that to tell you this. That, you know, they had seen God do something wonderful and powerful, Matthew chapter 8. They had grown in their faith, but they hadn't arrived. The next time they had a storm, one of them walked on the water. He still failed, but he at least walked on the water. He grew in his faith. And that's the point of storms. The point of storms is so that every time God takes you through a storm, you grow in your faith. You grow in your faith. You grow in your faith. And you see God faithful. Sometimes you look and you see your failings. And you see what happens as you fail. And you look around at everything else instead of the Lord. And you are looking at the circumstance and the people. And you're looking at the problems. You look at all those things that are part of it. But you take your eyes off of Jesus and focusing on him. And you fail. And then he has to reach out and help you. But you're growing in your faith. You remember that the last time he took us through, and he did it then, and he can do it again. And the next time that storm comes, because none of us know when the next storm is going to come, that Lord that helped us through when our faith was weak then, and then that last, now even when our faith is weak, he'll still help us through. If we'll grow in our faith and trust him by faith. Sometimes personally, God brings you to these places. The just shall live by faith. How are people justified, declared righteous in the sight of God, having their sin debt paid so they can stand before a holy God? How can that happen? The only way it can happen is that a person puts his faith personally and individually in Jesus Christ, who died as God the Son and rose again for that individual, for you as a person. That's the only way that you can be justified before God. By faith. And then you still walk by faith. And sometimes God even does that, not just for you as an individual, me as an individual. Sometimes God even does that for churches. He brings them to places where we learn to trust Him by faith. Well, let me tell you one more story, and I'm done. There's a story told about a grandfather who, of course, loved his grandson, just loved being with his grandson. And one day, the granddaddy said, "Son, come and go with me." And the boy hesitated for a minute, and he asked where his grandfather was going. And granddaddy paused for a moment himself, and then he left in silence. He leaves, and when he came back a few hours later, the little boy, Billy, said, "Granddad, why did you leave without me?" And after a moment of silence, the grandfather replied, "Because you asked me where I was going. If you really want to go and be with me, it doesn't matter where I'm going." You know, it is that way with our Heavenly Father. We may not always know exactly where He's going. And sometimes He takes us right in the middle of a storm. But it isn't so much the storm that matters. It's the one with whom I'm going. And when you go with Him, you can know that all is well. All is well. Would you stand with me, please? And so, Lord, it is with faith that we believe. It is with faith that we embrace even the storms, because of who You are. And so I ask, Lord, that You would be patient with us. I ask that You would rebuke us when we need rebuked. And by faith, we anticipate that in the storm, You're doing good things. And so help us, we pray, Lord. And before I'm done praying, let me ask you about where you are. Could it be that God is bringing you to a point in your life where you just see that I've been trying everything I can do and I can't find peace with God. I've been trying everything I can do and I still know that there's something more and there's something that's ahead. I know that I'm condemned because of my sin. I know I can't do it. How can I be right with God? And I tell you that Jesus died and rose again for you. He is the only way. The reason you're at this point is because He's getting your attention to draw you to Himself. And this is the time. Now is the time for you to call out to God and say, "God, I thank You that even though I'm a sinner, Jesus died in my place and rose again to be my personal Savior." You can ask Him to save you right now, and He will. It could be that you now, as a disciple of the Lord, have been going through trials and some temptations and a storm. Whatever it is for you, that storm is. And God is helping you because maybe He wants to change the way you think about the storm. And He wants to change your perspective of Him. And He wants to grow your faith. And in your doubt, your faith is wavering. And so this is a day that God is dealing with you in a wonderful, wonderful way to help you. In a minute, I'll finish out our prayer. This altar will be available for you. We have what we call an invitation here. It means this. It means that God is speaking. This is the time to respond. If you need to come to Christ, maybe even today, even while in the quietness of this moment, you called on the Lord and asked Him to save you, I want you to let somebody know. If you have questions, somebody will be here with a Bible, an open Bible to help you and answer questions for you. It may be that you want to just have time where you spend with God in prayer, or it may even be that you'd want someone to just share the time with you and pray with you. Just tell the men who are waiting for you, and they'll direct you to someone who will help you and really be a blessing and serve you. Or if you just want to spend time with the Lord, they'll give you that freedom, of course. But while God is speaking, this is the time to respond. And so, Lord, we thank You for storms. And we pray for all of us that You would help us by faith to anticipate what You can do and what You will do as we take each step with You through this storm. So God, give us faith to overcome our doubt, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.